WCBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Roxy Oney and Dr. Jim Zamayas and the WCBC Sports Team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Jim Zamayas along with Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Tony Orndorff, and Brad Reed. Our partner Roxy Oney is in Massachusetts enjoying time with his grandsons, and he'll be back with us next week. Mike Conley, how about giving us that scoreboard from Friday night?
Thanks very much, Jim. Last night, Fort Hill 48, Allegheny nothing, Frankfort 55, Kaiser nothing, and Northern 42, Southern nothing. Tucker County 60, Hampshire 21, Moorfield 57, Berkeley Springs 14, East Hardy 51, Petersburg 6, Boonesboro 42, Catoctin 14, Brunswick 35, Lock Raven nothing. Cambridge, South Dorchester had a bye and will play Colonel Richardson next week. Roane County 43, Ripley 7, Scott 17, Williamstown 7. In college basketball last night, Niagara 109, Allegheny College of Maryland 102. And a note today, Allegheny College will play Harford tonight at 7 o'clock on WCBC. Also today in college football, WVU is at Cincinnati at noon, Washington at Penn State at 8 o'clock, Maryland at Oregon at 7, Florida State at Notre Dame 7:30, and at 8 o'clock, Virginia is at Pittsburgh.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Brad Reed, the score you would like to comment upon.
Well, I don't want to steal. I know where a couple people are going to go, so I don't want to steal their scores. But let's just start at the top, Fort Hill and Allegheny. I thought it was going to happen. It's just shocking to see back-to-back weeks.
And to see how it happened.
Exactly.
All right. Tony, your score.
I'm going to take the Scott-Williamstown score. Scott defeats Williamstown 17-7. It looks like the Skyhawks will be a number 7 seed in the playoffs. And if the Metro News projections are right, Williamstown will host and they will welcome in Moorfield in the first round of their playoffs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. Very good. Michael?
I'm going to take Tucker County over Hampshire because Hampshire's been a bug in my rear all year. And I thought, well, I took Tucker County in the pick. But to score 60 points, that's amazing. So I'll take Tucker County over Hampshire.
And they end their season unbeaten. All right. Garrett?
Just to piggyback on what Mike said, the Hampshire score, two reasons, one of which I picked Hampshire to win through a Hail Mary to try and upend you and Mike Allen in the picks. And then also, even despite losing, according to Metro News' projections, Hampshire will sneak into the AAA playoffs the way they see it as a 16 seed. So going from a new head coach in Donnie Evans to winning five games, going 5-5 on the season and sneaking into the AAA playoffs, you can't ask for much more under a new head coach and with a reinvigorated program.
All right, I'll go with Boonesboro beating Catoctin and Brunswick beating Lock Raven. Boonesboro and Brunswick are going to meet. Right now, I think Boonesboro is the number 2 team in 1A. So projecting down the road to see how things will turn out. And then, of course, Cambridge South Dorchester having a bye. They're the number 1 seed. And, Brad, we anticipate in 2 weeks, if Fort Hill takes care of Clear Spring, we get to go to the Eastern Shore to broadcast a football game.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of the members of the staff, and they were quite certain that that's where we'll end up. Cambridge South Dorchester crossing the Bay Bridge.
Can't wait to put in for bridge fees as far as being reimbursed.
One thing's certain, it was not anyone connected with WCBC Sports who had anything to do with the information about Fort Hill, because you guys are on the road now for the rest of the playoffs and traveling all the way to Cambridge South Dorchester. It'll be a long ride.
Just checking weather forecasts. And in fact, today, Kathleen and I are going to go down to Clear Spring and scout out what the facilities are or aren't, more accurately, and got to pray for good weather. So that's just the way it goes. So, Mike, any other thing hit you as far as our scores go or that Fort Hill 48-0 victory that we broadcast?
Not really. I'm surprised all the shutouts. I mean, local rivalries, Fort Hill Allegheny shutout, Frankfort Kaiser, Northern Southern, and then, of course, Brunswick Lock Raven. But other than that, I'm a little bit surprised. I had Garrett on the radio going home last night when Allegheny College was winning. And I see they got beat, so that sort of surprised me there, too. But other than that, nothing really pops out to me. So
Garrett, you have quite the weekend now. Is it just AC hosting three different schools, or is there a game prior to the AC men's game?
Yeah, it's the Personal Best Classic, multiple games. So the women's teams play tomorrow night, or rather tonight and then tomorrow. So it's multiple games happening. So Allegheny College will play Harford. That should be a good one tonight at Bob Kirk Arena. Tip-off is at 7 here on WCBC. And then tomorrow, on Sunday night at 6 p.m., it's a rivalry game. Potomac State comes to Bob Kirk Arena. So Trojans are very young, somewhat raw. They have a lot of talent and a tremendous upside. But it kind of feels like they let one slip away last night.
All right. So that's our opening segment of Saturday Morning Quarterback. Your calls are welcome, 301-722-8255. Any topic, any team, we'd love to hear from you. When we come back, we're going to talk about Big Red. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Jesse Federal Credit Union invites you to come back to downtown Cumberland to rediscover the city and experience the reimagined downtown. Jesse Federal Credit Union is ready for your visit with the mall grand reopening on Thursday, November 14th.
Hi, I'm DJ Ritchie, lead pastor at Memorial Heights Baptist Church at 1419 East Old Town Road in Cumberland. Join us every Sunday here on WCBC at 9 a.m., then join us in person at 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. For information about our church, find us on Facebook.
Henny's Grill and Bar LaVale is offering home-cooked Thanksgiving dinner featuring turkey and ham with all the fixins. They're accepting reservations, and carryout will be available. Make Thanksgiving special by calling Henny's now at 301-729-1746.
House heaves it downfield, and it is caught! Touchdown, Fort Hill! What a beauty! Braylon Younger brings it in. And that was a pass play of 45 yards.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
All right, the wonderful Noah House to Braylon Younger touchdown connection last night. And after doing a couple plays, Allegheny's numbers are harder to pick up than I thought as far as the running backs. You think by formation, you know that Rush is a fullback. But you never quite know who they have at halfback, and so
there's a lot of like serifs or some of those numbers, and they're not. I think they're gray or like
yes.
Silver or something. So they don't pop as much as you
go.
Like.
I knew it was the damn serifs.
It kind of reminds me of whenever you're watching a Bills game, if you check in and they have two running backs, 122
right.
and 126.
They look and they're kind of built the
uh-huh.
same.
Well,
thank
so
you.
So like you're hoping it's Ty Johnson. And then, you know, the guy gets the ball, and it's not 26, it's 22.
There we go.
Reminds me of that.
In the second half last night, I was sure Corbin Stone had reeled off a 75-yard touchdown. I did the whole thing, and then afterwards, Doogie was like, oh, no, that was Tyler. It was 15, it wasn't 13.
Never mind.
The
challenges. That's why doing color is easier. I can clean up anything. It's like, oh, that was so-and-so. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Hello.
Hey, Jim.
How you doing?
It's Adam Stern. How are you?
Hey, great, Adam. So how did you enjoy doing color on the Frankfort Falcons?
Well, you probably would ask Tony more that question. But I really enjoyed it. I was nervous just listening to Brad when he started doing his the first couple of times, and he did such a great job right out of the gate. It felt like I had big shoes to fill. To come in, but going down and doing the field interviews at first, I told Tony I laughed about it is I didn't know which one Derek was.
Yeah, that happened to us at Kaiser.
I have put, when we did the Oakdale game, I put a picture of the coach on my sheet, on my notes, because I didn't know who I was supposed to go look for.
There's a couple of guys that have beards, too.
Yeah.
I totally understand, Adam. There's a couple of guys that are built the same, have beards, and kind of stand the same way, so I feel your pain on that.
Well, yeah. I thank goodness I have connections there that I went to Cirillo. He pointed him out, and I said I would not have went to him. What I told Tony would have been more embarrassing if I would have went to Derek and said, which one's your head coach? And he would have said, that would have been the, how do you follow up with that? But I enjoyed the interviews. Tony prepped me that Kevin Whiteman won't get near me until 6:35. He'll seek me out, and he'll do the interview. I got close to him, and it was like a halo around me, and he walked away. It was great to be there last night to go back to Frankfort Stadium, where I graduated from and was involved with their sports, to walk out to see a bunch of the people that I went to school with and going back and coaching there for 9 years in their basketball program. It was just a great time. I didn't know if I could do it or not. I refereeing soccer for 33 years and never doing anything with football other than watching on TV and screaming at my TV.
Right.
I'm thinking, I don't know. And it just seemed like it was easy. Tony made it easy for me. There was one time, I have to put my phone down because I couldn't hear him in my headset, but I could hear him, talking to me. And he said, well, what did you think, Adam? And I turned and I was like, I don't have a clue. I wasn't looking up. I didn't see the penalty. I said, I'm going with you, Tony, on that one.
That's what you learn, all kinds of little tricks. Adam, the good thing is you broke in with Kevin Wayman and Derek Stevens, so two great guys to interview. And glad you enjoyed it. Are you ready for more November football?
I am. I enjoyed it. I told Tony last night that if you guys need me back, I would welcome another chance to do it. It is, it's definitely different. But I think as the game went on, I felt like I got more into watching certain things to kind of help that color commentary. The only thing I got to watch is poor Tony's trying to do the 50-40, and I'm like, there's a penalty there laying back on the – got to wait, Adam. Got to wait for the touchdown.
People with years of experience would jump in the middle of calls like that. So
yeah, what game was it? Oh, the Commanders, when they had that wonderful play against the Bears. The two color guys totally wiped out the play-by-play guy. You couldn't tell anything. It was right. The most worthless call. It's just a bunch of people screaming, so – yeah, you always let your play-by-play guy do it, and then you can come in after. There's plenty of airtime doing a football game. Yes. That's the beauty of it.
Yep. Yeah, and we all laughed at the office. There's so many people that knew I was going to be on the radio, and they're like, did they realize that you don't stop talking? And I said, look, Jim prepped me to say, when they come out of the huddle, they break and they clap. That's the point. You need to wrap it up and stop so Tony can take it from there. And there was a couple of times I got caught to where they were about ready to snap it, and I realized,
oops,
stop this in mid-sentence. So, yeah.
I've had color guys go ahead and call the play because they were still talking. So they just went right into play-by-play.
Don't even know who that could be. Mike?
Hey, Adam, I keep stats. I love doing that, and that's why I do it. I don't have to worry about talking.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, one last question before you go. Name one player in Frankfurt that really, really impresses you.
Pattison stood out, first of all, just when he ran for the first time through the line, I was like, who is the tree going past his line that looked bigger, taller-wise? And, I mean, he just – if our tackles aren't going to get him down. I noticed that last night is, Kaiser was undersized, and it took a group of guys. But I was impressed there. Netting having his name right, thank you, Jay Marley, for not telling me it was nothing, and I would have gotten that wrong until Tony would have corrected me. But he looked very good in the backfield. I was impressed with their overall first and second team. That second team came in, Tony talked about, they didn't miss a beat. So that's encouraging for Coach Whiteman for now and in the future. So I don't know that I could say one particular other than Patterson stood out. Cutter, I mean, there was a host of them. The line, Marley, Michaels, you could name a bunch of them. But, yeah, it was it was something to watch last night.
All right, Adam. Hey, thanks for calling in, and we will get you down the road here in November, either next week or likely the week after. So I'll be in touch.
Okay, sounds good. And hey, go Frostburg Women's Bobcats. They play their first MEC playoff game tomorrow. And just a shout out to my daughter Katie for being first team All MEC.
Amen.
I'm proud of the kid.
All right, Adam. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, Adam Stern, our newest cut. Tony, you've worked with everybody this year.
Yes, it's been an open audition for the coveted the color commentary spot for Frankfurt football. But no, it was a pleasure working with Adam. It was instantly at ease as soon as he walked in the booth, and we had a really great time.
All right, let's do Frankfurt now, then we'll move to Fort Hill. Brad Reed, did you enjoy Adam Stern saying Pattison is the player that stood out?
He got it 100% correct. I mean, his statement, seeing them play, Pattison's excellent, offensive line's excellent, second team, they don't miss a beat. He saw one game, and he got everything 100% correct.
All right. Tony, was it 21-0 at half?
Yes, it was. I mean, it started slow. They had a couple. Actually, I think it started exactly as Coach Whiteman wanted, which is a lot to complain about tomorrow, because they started with some penalties. They turned the ball over a couple of times. But once they got settled in, it was fine. And actually, the turning point was early. Frankfurt was up 7-0. They had fumbled deep in their own territory. Kaiser had it, and a couple of penalties moved them down, much like with Mountain Ridge, moved them down into position. They had they were inside the 5, got stopped, went to kick a field goal. That field goal was blocked.
Wow.
So instead of it being 7-3, it's blocked, and then Blake Jacobs picks it up and goes about 80 yards for a touchdown, and now it's 14-0 instead of 7-3, and that was it.
So they
point.
Took a blocked field goal and ran it back for
yes.
a touchdown?
Yes.
Sort of like the punt that Kaiser tried years ago. Garrett, were you there for that one when Frankfurt beat Kaiser? Wasn't there a punt that was blocked late in the game? And speaking of color guys getting excited, I thought Bill Cessna was exuberant. Maybe Nate was doing the play-by-play on that game. Does any of that sound familiar?
Was that the Brady Watson? Or is that, was
I think
that
so.
Yeah. If it was the Brady Watson scoop and score, I think Bill was hanging out of the press box at Kaiser that game. That was also the pepper spray game as well. But anyway, that rivalry between Frankfurt and Kaiser has been really exceptional to watch. There's been some years where Kaiser's really poured it on, some years where Frankfurt has really poured it on. But to finish up 4 straight Mineral Bowl wins, I believe it is, a four-peat for Frankfurt, to win that game, to complete an undefeated regular season, and to go rolling into the postseason as dominant as they have been. Frankfurt now has outscored their opponents 453-74, and it's not all slouches. I mean, they went to Williamstown and beat them. So Frankfurt looks really, really good and primed for a deep playoff run.
Now, interestingly, 5th undefeated season.
That's correct.
And when Kevin had an unbeaten season in 2014, they made the state finals.
Right.
The 3 previous ones, they got knocked out in the first round. So, you know, a lot of people want to criticize Frankfurt's schedule. I think the schedule has them ready for 2A as it is in 2024.
Absolutely. The Williamstown game was a test. They played a couple of 3. I mean, and it's hard to see because they're beating everyone so badly. But they went to Grafton and bottled up a Grafton offense that had been throwing the ball all over the place, that had just scored 60-some points the week before, and they held them to 6 points. The defense is incredible. The defense has held opposing teams to 9 total touchdowns, 5 touchdowns rushing and 4 through the air. So they've given up 4 passing touchdowns and have picked the ball off 17 times. So the defense has just been incredible. Netting, as Adam mentioned, he has 5 interceptions on the year.
And he's a great receiver.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, he's the primary receiving threat as much as they throw. They're plus 15 in turnovers throughout the year.
Oh, my gosh. So if Fort Hill plays Friday night and Frankfurt has a Saturday game, maybe some of us can go out and see him again.
It would be worth coming. They're a fun team to watch in that the execution is really good. Like when my wrestler growing up was Brett the Hitman Hart. He was the excellence of execution. That is what you see here. It is total execution. They really don't make mistakes. That's why it was so unnerving. And I thought, oh, they had a lot of penalties. They had 3 penalties, but it seemed like a lot. And it was coming early. And they did. You know, they fumbled the ball twice. But they really don't. They don't beat themselves, and I've said throughout the year, people have asked me, so if Frankfurt's going to lose a game, they will have to beat themselves to a certain extent.
Brad, I read the article this morning, and Kaiser's offensive output sounds like Allegheny's from homecoming. I don't know if you have that in front of you or not.
Yeah,
there.
I do, and the stat that I want to comment upon is that the leading rusher for Kaiser was the quarterback,
yes,
who had 10 yards,
yes,
on 10 carries.
That is correct.
That's the leading rusher, correct?
That was, yes.
Well, that was Allegheny last night. Their leading rushers were their two quarterbacks.
Right.
Wow. Tony, who quarterbacked Kaiser last night?
It was Mealy.
Okay.
Yeah, who's, I think, was a freshman. I think he's a freshman.
All right, so Stanislawczyk was not.
No. They did have Crawford back, and they had Lampka in just barely. He tried to go, but really wasn't able to. But, yeah, Ben Mealy was the quarterback. And just, I mean, Kaiser was just undersized and kind of outmanned in that regard.
Isn't it weird? I mean, we've been looking at Kaiser for years, and we think, oh, they got some big linemen.
Right.
No, they don't.
0-for-10 on third down conversions for Kaiser.
Wow. Tony, what are we looking forward to with Frankfurt playoff-wise? We know we got home games.
The home games, it looks like the projection is West Side, which is about almost 5 hours away. So if that is West Side in West Virginia, the higher seed picks the venue, which is always their home, and the other seed gets to pick the day. So likely they'd want to do it on a Saturday and not travel on a school day.
And in West Virginia, we have like a Friday night option, a Saturday afternoon option, and I think a Saturday night option.
Yeah, Saturday night. When they were in the state semis a couple of years ago, I guess 2 years ago against Hoover, that was a Saturday night. I don't know what the preference would be, but yeah, I think it'll be a Saturday. And, I mean, Saturday afternoon, they did that with Williamstown. I think Coach Whiteman likes to be in the rhythm of doing it at night, but he'll adjust, I'm sure.
I'm sure he will. All right. So, very good. Frankfurt wallops Kaiser 55-0. Congratulations, Coach Whiteman, 10-0. And we always look forward to hearing from you. And hopefully he'll get a hold of us as soon as he knows exactly time and place. Well,
yeah.
We know the place, but
well,
the time.
Yeah,
and day.
I'll make sure I follow up with him. But that was the projection. Actually, I had Doogie come in and say, "Well, who do you think?" And he gave me three. And then Kevin came in at the end for his interview, and he had the same three teams in the same order. So
this is great. You had Doogie come in.
Yes,
we had Doug Wolf with us in the booth.
Okay.
Now Doug is concocting 20 scenarios where Fort Hill doesn't have to go to Clear Spring. Maybe they'll play at North High. Maybe they'll come up here. We'll give them the gate. Maybe they'll forfeit.
I had to go to Catoctin, which was a game that was played, I mean, in the peach orchard, essentially. Again, I mean, there was nothing. There was one set of stands.
And a hillside.
So, yeah, I think they're probably heading to the home of the Blazers.
Well, and of course, Fort Hill, they do such a great job, but everything should be done at Fort Hill Stadium in the minds of the Fort Hill fans.
People wanted the state championship game to be at Greenway when they were playing Mountain Ridge. They thought, well, they should just let us do it here.
Yeah, well, there's some argument to be made for that, but there are things beyond Sidling Hill, like jobs.
Are we sure?
We're here with two people who have had jobs or have jobs beyond Sidling Hill. All right, you are welcome to call in and have at it with us, 301-722-8255. Now when we come back, we're going to talk about Fort Hill. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Second and three for Frankfurt. Patterson in the middle. Nobody there. Rolling. Touchdown. Frankfurt Falcons. Touchdown. Julian Patterson from 18 yards out. He is in the Frostburg State University end zone. Reach your own career goals with a degree from FSU. Wherever you're going, it starts at Frostburg.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
From restaurants that offer free meals to veterans, to stores and shops that offer special veterans discounts, to employers who make a special effort to hire veterans, all across America, business owners are going out of their way to thank veterans for their service. Let these businesses know that you appreciate their efforts by supporting them on Veterans Day 2024 and every day.
Kensington Assistant
Assisted Living, Country House, and Evergreen Adult Medical Daycare, downtown Cumberland remind you, thank a veteran for keeping America the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Castle calls signals, and he will hand it off to Bender. Bender gets a nice hole. Bender blockers out front, cuts back in. Touchdown, Carson Bender. Touchdown, Fort Hill. 22 yards. And everybody getting in on the act for Fort Hill. It is now 34-0.
A highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday morning quarterback.
Welcome back to Saturday morning quarterback. Glad you could join us. We have a phone call, and somebody said it's Doug Wolf protesting. Maybe Doug had his pirate jacket on last night. Maybe it'll be over at Acrisure Stadium. We could do it there.
Last night, just quickly, the second high school I've seen with a pirate-themed halftime show this year.
There you go.
Sorry. Go to the phone.
It's good you're paying attention. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday morning quarterback.
I had to have him call back. His phone line was messed up.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Sounded like Chris.
Yes, it did. All right. Mike Conley, 48-0 Fort Hill. I don't need to use up all your numbers, but go ahead and tell us something you'd like to note here.
I just made a note for myself. The score says enough. The game was over the first play of the game. You called it. Jabril Daniels, 59-yard run. And from there, the floodgates were open, and the results, 48-0.
Oh. Brad?
Fort Hill has just improved game after game after game and gotten better at all aspects of their attack. I just don't know what to say in terms of how good they did look.
All right. So, and we're going to save our Allegheny discussion for the last part of the show. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday morning quarterback.
Good morning, fellas. I'd like to have some observations about the game last night.
Have at it,
Fort Hill play every game, and I think last night was by far the best total game they've played all season. Offense, defense, special teams, and intensity was very evident last night.
It really was.
Now I'm going to channel my best Paul Miller and talk about the officials. There are some officials in this area that when they're doing a game, they want to make sure you know that they're there. And we had a couple of them last night. Now, one of the calls, I understand that it's a rivalry game and they played last week and you're trying to do everything you can to keep things under control. But that one particular unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that they threw on the Bible kid after the pass reception, in my opinion, there's no way the official that threw that flag could have heard anything he said. And the only gesture he made was tapping the top of his helmet. Now, I get it that, you know, officiating a sporting event at any level was a thankless job, but I didn't pay $6 to sit in the stands and watch these guys throw flags.
Okay. Well, Fort Hill, you know, the intensity thing, John, that you bring up is so accurate. Oh, my goodness. That first quarter was a tour de force. It was great.
It could have gotten ugly. I understand that, but, I mean, when you're 25 feet away and you're throwing a flag because you think somebody said something. I saw the game on TV last night, and I didn't see him, unless he's screaming, and like I said, the only gesture he made was tap the top of his helmet.
All right, are you going to get a room at Clear Springs so you can camp out and get a good seat?
Well, I told my wife we might have to leave about 10 o'clock in the morning to get a seat.
I will never forget being at Brunswick and the AD's lounging at his house at 4 p.m., and Fort Hill had already invaded, and he had no clue. It's like, buddy.
Well, they don't know what they're in for. And it would be nice. I understand they want to host the game, but it would be nice if they could move it to a school stadium or someplace like that that's got some adequate seats.
Well, yeah, we talked about that earlier. So, well, John, I'll look for you down there because we're going to be seated very near where you are, okay?
Okay, well, maybe I'll be on the air then.
You may be. All right, thanks, John.
Uh-huh.
All right, bye-bye. Tony, another of your partners this year.
You
can't keep a partner. You got to tell your dad he and Doug Wolf are simpatico.
I mean, that's 48-0, so I don't know the extent to which the officiating was a factor, but You know, I did also, being a mentally unwell person, went home and watched this game as well after I was done with my game. And every time I looked up, Fort Hill was just running through gaping holes. And it was just incredible. It really was. I was missing things because I was distracted by something else. I have to keep rewinding to because it was just that, it was that quick. And, you know, I know we'll get to Allegheny later, but they were, they had packed it in pretty quickly, it seemed. I mean, I think that the last night's game was over before last week's game was over.
I can't disagree with that. Just doing the game. I mean, it was funny. Kathleen texts me, "Oh, you sound perky and enthusiastic," and then it's 28-0. So you got to really stay up on things. Garrett, you're able to follow it, I'm sure.
It's kind of like that age-old saying that whenever you play each other twice, the way the playoffs used to be before everybody made it, that whoever won homecoming kind of had that mental edge that you already knew that if you were going to meet the next time, that you already kind of owned the other team, unless it was really, really close or came down to the final play. And I think Tony, you know, makes a good point that on Fort Hill's side of things, once, you know, they pitched a shutout the week previous at homecoming, they go rolling into the postseason with all this momentum. They have some bulletin board material with everything that went on, and now they're 2-7, and they have something even more to prove. I just didn't feel like there was any way, apart from serious turnovers and mental mistakes, that Fort Hill was going to lose this game. It's just, you can just tell that after that homecoming game, they knew that they were going to have just a supreme edge and all the momentum going into the first round of the postseason, and the final score of this game was indicative of that.
Brad, you commented during the first half that you don't care where they have to travel. There's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to stop them, at least if Fort Hill plays like they did in that first half last night.
They could play on a crab boat down there in Cambridge if they have to, and they're still going to win. So, what Fort Hill does so well is, as I said, they just get better every game, every quarter, it seems. And by the time they hit the playoffs, they're just on another gear. They have another level of intensity that's different than any other team.
And their scouting, their preparation. So Allegheny finally, in Game 10, trots out the bootleg. The first time they ran it, there was one guy who just missed Stewart. And then the second time, they were able to stuff it. They are just so disciplined as far as their responsibilities. And as Rock said, if he was here, if you saw Fort Hill's Plan A, they had Plan B, then they had Plan C. There's always something.
They just, their X's and O's by the coaching staff is excellent. They saw what happened last week, and then they improved upon it. They got better from that performance. They figured out the few things that they need to get done, and they did those. And just those little changes just changed the complexion of the game entirely.
All right, it's 9:32. Let's go to Mike Connolly. Time for the scoreboard.
Thanks very much, Jim. Last night, Fort Hill 48, Allegheny nothing. Frankfort 55, Kaiser nothing. Northern 42, Southern nothing. Tucker County 60, Hampshire 21, Moorefield 57, Berkeley Springs 14, and East Hardy 51, Petersburg 6. Last night in college basketball, Niagara 109, Allegheny College of Maryland 102, and for you fans out there, today at 7 o'clock, Allegheny College of Maryland plays Harford from the Bob Kirk Arena.
All right, we're going to take a break. Your calls are welcome. We have two. Let's get more. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
WCBC, Cumberland.
Partly cloudy skies by this afternoon, high near 58 degrees. WCBC. Allegheny County Sheriff's Office, in cooperation with the County Warrant Unit, apprehended Adam Shibway and served him his two bench warrants. Members of the County Combined Warrant Unit conducted surveillance on Shibway's residence in Cumberland, where he was arrested and transported to the Allegheny County Detention Center. For the district court case, he was held on a $1,500 bond. In the circuit court case, he's being held without bond, pending review in circuit court.
West Virginia's Department of Human Services will be accepting applications for the Low Income Energy Assistance Program on November 4th through November 27th. The federally funded program helps eligible West Virginians cover home heating costs, aiming to alleviate financial strain during the colder months. To apply for assistance, residents can pick up their applications at their local Department of Human Services office or senior centers operated by the Area Agency on Aging. Applications are also available online at wvpath.wv.gov.
That's Newsbreak. I'm Chris Myers for WCBC News, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
Have you heard the news? White Oak Lanes now has 8 lanes of duckpin bowling. That's right, 8 lanes of duckpin bowling at White Oak Lanes. Open every day at noon, White Oak Lanes invites everyone to come and play on their brand new duckpin lanes. White Oak Lanes.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
All right, welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback, and it's time for our numbers segment. Tony, you may lead off.
Okay. Rock's not here, so I'm going to do a bunch of numbers because I'm going to take his spots too. All right? All right.
Now, wait a minute. I talked to Rock, and he said I got his number.
Well,
okay,
that's, I don't think so. Okay. Actually, I don't have that many, but my first number is 9, but it means a lot. 9, number of ball carriers on the Frankfurt roster that have carried the ball at least 10 times this year.
Oh,
9 different
great.
Kids have done that. 9, number of defensive touchdowns they've given up. 9, number of interceptions they've had as a team. Netting with 5 and Caden McKenzie with 4. I have 2 other numbers. 173, that's how many yards Patterson needs to get to 1,000. 103, that's how many yards Carter Shanholtz needs to get to 1,000. So they are poised to possibly have 2,000-yard backs and a team that is playing their second team for most of the second half, if not parts of the first half, in most of their games, and spreading the ball around as well. Those are my numbers. Frankfurt is a really complete team.
So, Tony, what was their closest game of these 10 wins?
Their closest game would probably be the Moorfield game and Williamstown 27-7, Moorfield 28-7.
I'm glad I attended that one. Then.
And the team that scored the most points on them were the Hampshire Trojans, who got 21 on them early on. But, 2 shutouts. They're giving up about 7 points a game.
All right. Brad, your number?
Well, it's anarchy now. He had a couple, so I'm going to take
He's
2.
He's so enthused.
I'm going to take 2. 1, I don't know it, but it's the number is the capacity seating at Clear Spring. What is that number, and how far will we exceed
and
it?
How many are farm animals?
And the line from Jaws, I think we're going to need a bigger boat, comes to mind.
Move it to school stadium. Move it to North High. Move it to M&T Bank.
My second number, Tony, how many did you have? 7? I'll stick with 2.
It was okay. A plethora.
Like the unknown number. It's very
I'll
good.
Stick with 2. And the number is 2nd, and it's the second teams. And I think Adam commented on this.
Yes.
Tony, you've commented on this. Fort Hill and Frankfurt's second teams, excellent in terms of they come in there, they do their job. They don't have penalties. They don't fumble the ball. They execute well. If you show me a good team, I'll show you a good second team.
Yeah.
And that they deserve a great deal of credit for the success of those two programs.
All right. Mike Conley, your number?
2.
All right.
No, 2 numbers.
Okay.
87. That's right. Fort Hill's total points the last 2 games against Allegheny.
Okay.
And 4. That's the total first downs Allegheny has had in 2 ball games.
Ugh. Yeah, we were there, weren't we?
We were there.
Garrett?
33. Fort Hill has now won 33 consecutive playoff games at Greenway Avenue Stadium. That streak dates back to 2012. I think it was Perryville that they lost to.
Yes.
Fort Hill dominating at home in the playoffs. Now they get to go take it on the road.
And your number's 33?
It is.
Thank you very much. they took all your time. What can I say? Bunch of number hogs over there. All right, here's my number, 145 to nothing. All right, anybody know what that might be? Do a little play along here.
How many numbers Tony gave as you know, opposed
we,
to how many
we still
Rock
got
gave
20 minutes of the show. I don't think there's another game to break down.
That's a term I don't use. breakdown. Not doing it. Not breaking it down. We're
breaking it down right now.
Here's my one. Here's 145-0. Fort Hill Northern and Frankfort over county rivals Allegheny Southern and Kaiser. 145-0 last night. And here's the thing to give you fans a little more to think about. In the old days, maybe not that far ago, Southern, Allegheny, and Kaiser would have done that to the opponents, doing it to them.
Yeah. A couple years ago, Southern was getting chippy with Fort Hill. They were mixing it up with them. I mean, when I started covering Frankfort, Kaiser was dominant.
That was Helmet Gate, wasn't
Indeed.
It? Indeed. Oh, my goodness.
Fortunes have certainly switched.
Pitch it right.
What a stupid.
Oh, my. All right. So that's going to do it, and we're going to take our final break. We're going to come back and do our booth review. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback. And you're listening to it here on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Chessie Federal Credit Union invites you to come back to downtown Cumberland to rediscover the city and experience the reimagined downtown. Chessie Federal Credit Union is ready for your visit with the mall grand reopening on Thursday, November 14th.
I'm Gino Gattris, owner of Curtis's and Coney Island Famous Wieners in downtown Cumberland. I invite everyone to attend the ribbon cutting Thursday and a weekend of fun and music in downtown Cumberland, Maryland.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
And we are back on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Glad you could join us. Let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. What's up?
I got two numbers for you.
Oh, good.
Four is the amount of touchdowns Jabril Daniels needs to break Josh Page's all-time touchdown record.
Oh, man.
Five is the amount of touchdowns Jabril Daniels needs to break Josh Page's all-time scoring record of 438.
Those are great numbers, and Josh Page was part of that great rushing attack in the 97 championship team, right?
Yes.
All right, we'll go Jabril. We hope it happens. Maybe we'll get to broadcast that Clear Spring next week.
Hopefully.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Well, very good. Appreciate that phone call. And now that's a team that had, I don't know if they still have it, the all-time state rushing record of over 5,000 yards, that Fort Hill 97 title team. All right, it's time for booth review. Mike, we'll let you go first.
Short and sweet. Fort Hill is Fort Hill, and Allegheny needs to assess the future.
Got it. Tony.
I'm tempted to give more numbers. There is very little to review. The officiating has been fine. It's hard to criticize the coaching or any of the coaching decisions with Frankfort. They've been a really good team all season long. They've executed really well. I will throw one extra number in there, which is they've only punted the ball six times this season as well. So
whoa, that's a Fort Hill number.
Yeah. So they've been a dominant team. They have been, and you know, one of the things I did get a chance to ask Coach, when did you figure out that this team might be special? And he knew he had a lot of talent. He knew he had a lot of size. But I think that when they went to Williamstown and were able to really impose their will, that showed a lot of people, including him, that they were for real and had a real chance to win a state championship.
All right. Booth review, Brad.
I'm going to blame myself on this one. My ability or inability to use that microphone at times is something I got to get better at. I change the batteries, and then I can't get the thing back on, and you're talking to me. So the booth review is my inability to change batteries and turn on a piece of electronics. So
we've had field reporters where we would go to them, and they were diagnosing injuries on the Hampshire bench. Jamie O'Hanlon, we were over there, and he was our field reporter, and Jamie was checking somebody's eyeball out or something. And I know Paul Miller helped diagnose injuries on the sideline too, so You're allowed to change batteries.
Well, you will not catch me diagnosing any injuries, so do not come to me for that.
All right. Very good. Garrett, what's your booth review?
Since you cut me off, even though I only used two sentences on my number, I'm going to do
the number
two.
Is 33, right? All right, keep going. All right.
First booth review, Hampshire and Southern Seasons. Both teams were kind of circling the drain, if you will, the last couple of years. Hampshire under new head coach Donnie Evans goes 5-5. Looks like they're going to sneak into the AAA playoffs. Southern just to have a team. Coach McLaughlin, over 50 players on the roster. They started out, got a couple of wins. He told Brad before the Allegheny game, it's going to take some time. It's going to take a couple of seasons. Be patient. It seems like they have a nice footing up there. And then the other booth review, it's kind of behind the scenes. Both you and Chris Myers ran exceptional 4-2-40s between studios when the breaks were done. So Chris ran from the small studio to the control room about 4-5-40, and then during the break, you sprinted over there and sprinted back. So we have athleticism on the staff, just for those of you
untapped,
that don't know.
Untapped, but it's there.
Communication 2024 style. Just running around here. All right, my booth review is going to segue into this final segment talking about Allegheny. And there have been some comments on MD Varsity. Oh, Brian Hansel should go. He actually thinks his players maybe should have opted out of the Fort Hill game. Now, if you read that, you think, well, that's terrible. Let's hear the actual cut. Chris has it for us. This is from Brad's post-game interview at Homecoming. Now, you tell me if Hansel really wanted to opt out. All right, so, if you'd play that.
There's a ability to opt out of the playoffs, right? So I told him if this isn't the type of fight you want again, just let me know. And then they all want the competition again. They all want to play again. So we're going to work hard tomorrow as a staff. We're going to get back into it, try and find ways, again, to move the football and play better defensively. And we're going to come up with the best game plan possible, try and scheme it out.
Brad, you interviewed him. Did he want to opt out? Would you explain to anybody who doesn't understand it what he was doing?
Well, I read that online, and I thought, did he say something to somebody else? Because he did not say that to me. I never interpreted his statement as let's opt out. I think he was saying to his team, to be honest with you, man up and let's get this done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a question you asked because you know the answer.
Right.
Which is, you guys have the option to quit. Do you want to quit? And of course you know, and he knows this, guys. No, they don't want to quit. They want to keep going. So that's a false narrative built around that.
All right. So that's just unfair criticism. That's not right. Now.
Now to fair criticism.
Allegheny ended the season at 4-6. They don't have a plan A, B, and C. There's plan A, which is run the football. And they did it well against lesser opponents. But, you know, every running game can be stopped. And let's go to the Baltimore Ravens. Derrick Henry can be stopped. You have to have something else in that arsenal, in your quiver. And they don't. And until they do, close games like the St. James game, the Mount Ridge game, are not going to go their way. So something needs to change. I think the Allegheny – last night was bad, but the Allegheny kids, we've seen them all year. They play hard. They play tough football. Tony, your thoughts as we move ahead.
Well, you're right about the idea of the running game, because when teams – the challenge of shutting down the run is that it leaves you vulnerable to other things. But if you're not worried about a passing game, you can shut the run down by putting every person, 6 inches off the line of scrimmage, and you'll shut it down if there's no threat that they can throw over top of you. I do think, and I said the phrase reimagine a couple weeks ago, it was pretty, I think it was scoffed at, but I do think there needs to be a reimagining of things, at least different options. And I think, like any situation, get a sense of who the talent is coming back, and then design an offense or design plans around that. Who are the ball? Who are the playmakers, and how can you get them the ball, and how can you do something different? I do think it's going to take that, because doing the same thing over and over again is yielding the same results, and those aren't the results that Allegheny wants.
All right, Brad, you mentioned last night about Fort Hill having everybody, all 11, were within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage at one point, and it wasn't a 4th-and-1 play either.
Yeah, it's just a mathematical equation in terms of how many people you have at the line of scrimmage and how many people you can block. In terms of options, the plan B, the plan C, they just do not have it. I don't know why, whether they don't plan for it, whether they believe their plan A is going to work, whether they can't scheme a plan B or C? I'm not sure.
Brad, you live near Allegheny, and you went and saw summer practice and all. I imagine they participate in seven-on-sevens. Aren't those mainly passing drill things?
Yeah, I do not understand why they do that if they're not going to try to pass the ball. I watch Allegheny warm up before the game, and they're doing passing drills, and I'm thinking, why? I mean, when are you going to pass? I'm not telling you that they have to open it up like a spread offense. But if a team commits to cutting off the run, what are you going to do? Fort Hill, Garrett and I saw it down at Dunbar. If you decide we can stop Fort Hill from running and you commit to that, you got to make him pass. That's a weakness of Fort Hill right now. You got a call, sir.
All right. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I just want to say I love the show, love what you guys do. But I have something to add about the Allegheny debacle last night. I think it is pretty obvious that they didn't want to be there by the end of the first quarter. I mean, talking about the running game that they had, what was that glorified victory formation that they tried to run out of starting in the second possession? I mean, that seemed like they were just trying to get out of Dodge and end their season.
Yeah, and Fort Hill just stacked it up. No matter what Allegheny lines up in the last 2 weeks, they're not going to be able to block Fort Hill at the line of scrimmage. And, Mike, in 2 weeks, 4 first downs?
Correct, 4 total.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts about last night or this season? Caller.
Nothing that really comes to mind. I think Allegheny just needs to go back to the drawing board, and they need to look at hiring some assistant coaches or getting some fresh breath of coaching in there. I think Hansel is the right man for the job. I don't like the bashing of Hansel all the time because people forget that Allegheny job sat empty for months, and Hansel was the only one that really applied for it.
Well, I just to echo what you're saying, we love so much what Brian does. I agree. He talks to us. His teams play hard. He loves his kids. But somebody else has to call that offense. It's just rough. It's a rough watch.
Exactly. I just wanted to call and give my 2 cents. I appreciate everything you guys do for the kids in this area. You guys are the best radio station around.
All right, well, thank you for listening, and we really appreciate your phone call. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Save that cut where he said we were the best.
Gabe will. Dave
yeah,
will
make sure we have
I'll give
that.
I'll give him a dollar.
You know, Jim,
Garrett, go ahead.
Oh, you were talking about having a plan. Like, I know I'm talking a lot about Frankfurt, but they did go 10-0 as of yesterday.
Well, now you're talking more. Would you get to...
That's a team that makes their bones running the ball. They threw the ball 67 times this year.
Right, and right. As Brad said, we don't need to see Allegheny
right.
go 50-50.
Right.
But it was just painful. Last night, I think when Stewart finally ran the bootleg, I almost fell out of the booth. And I may have said on the air, well, finally. And,
right.
You know, and Brad in the post game last night, Coach Hansel actually used the word screens.
Yeah, well, I just don't know if we – The is Stewart a quarterback? He never was asked to be a quarterback this year. He was asked to hand the ball off. We never really got to see a short passing game that allowed him to use his abilities. So where they go at quarterback, you know, what type of offense they're going to run next year, I don't know.
All right, Garrett.
Can I be a contrarian? I'd like to be.
Please.
You know, as we sit here and we talk, I know Frankfurt has elected to throw the ball more in recent years. Fort Hill has some smattering of some passes. But if we're honest with each other, it's not really like anybody in this area is 5 wide and throwing the ball out in space, maybe save for Hampshire.
Well, now, Mountain Ridge has a pretty varied offense.
Well, that's a good point. Okay. But, you know, sitting here, people are always saying Allegheny should be more like Fort Hill. They should do... You know, be more successful like Fort Hill, et cetera, et cetera. But what Fort Hill does that dominates is their line play, and they don't really need to go to the pass unless They absolutely have to. Yes, they mix it in. It would be nice if Allegheny threw the ball more. I totally agree. But I think it kind of boils down to personnel, too. Watching Sebastian Stewart throw before the game, and I'm not picking on anybody, he was throwing good passes, and it was hitting, you know, the receivers going after the passes right in the numbers, and they were dropping it. So I think the coaching staff knows their players more than anybody. It would be nice if they got, you know, in games where they're ahead, if they, you know, put that in there to try and get some momentum in the passing game. But at the same time, I mean, you know your players. You know that Jackson Resch is your bread and butter. Yes, if he gets stuffed, like Jim, like you said, if anybody can stop the running game, I don't know if there's an easy answer, because, sure, if we compare apples to oranges and say, well, if we look at this through the lens of the NFL, you need to throw the football more. It's really not that easy. You can try more and try and work it in more. I think there needs to be some changes, and Coach Hansel knows that. I mean, there's nobody on that field that wants to win more than Brian Ansel.
Well, here's what's frustrating. What we're saying right now, we've been saying for years. This is not a new discussion. Mm-hmm. We have had this discussion year after year after year, and it hasn't changed. So, and they've had some talented throwers, but it's just they don't have enough faith and enough execution, and this year was really the low point as far as having other options. And see, the killer is, and I don't care how they win, but if you're in a 50-50 game, the Mountain Ridge game was 50-50, St. James was definitely 50-50. Mm-hmm. Allegheny had no way to pull out either of those games, and that's what makes it tough. So Hansel has had winning records 3 years coming into this. This year he had a young team. They did a nice job. They got four wins, but... And I agree with the caller. We like Brian as a coach, but somebody has to help that offense, and he has to be willing to listen. Something has to change, because that was rough last night. Todd Helmick said that was the worst Allegheny varsity performance he's ever seen. Now, we'll give Fort Hill a lot of credit for that. So, Tony, you want to add something?
Well, I just think it's not – I mean, I don't think anyone thinks Allegheny needs to completely change everything they do, but they do need to have a plan when the thing that they do doesn't work. And when maybe that's, you know, like Frankfurt used to play Washington. They would run a single wing, and you'd have two people back there. You weren't sure of the quarter. I mean, something different, something that can give other coaches something that they have to plan for, something you can go to when your primary thing isn't working. I mean, I think that's all it is just trying to figure that out.
I think also last night it kind of showed how young Allegheny is, because when you have, a roster that's upperclassmen, juniors, seniors, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, have had to fight through adversity, I don't think it would have been as bad. But when, you know, you're getting blown off the ball and Fort Hill scoring at will early on, well, sure, of course they don't want to be there. Right. They want it to be over. Let's get it over with. You know, we're not going to win this game. And that speaks to the youth. I don't think that there's anything that the coaching staff could have said to those players to get them reinvigorated, remotivated, because it was just in a continuation of the previous week. They're a young team. I'm call me crazy. I'm excited for Allegheny's progression. They have a lot of young talent. And if they can continue to build that young talent, their youth programs, I believe, won multiple Super Bowls at different levels.
Yeah, I mean, we love covering them. There's no question about that. And, I saw them play all 10 weeks. We like covering them. Brian's cooperation is fantastic. And but things can be improved. Brad?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see what they do in the off season and how they prepare for next year. I do think they need to make some changes offensively. And kind of develop a little bit more modern offense.
Fair enough. All right, there's our music. Thanks for the calls today. Four of them? How about that?
Maybe a record.
All right. Well, we're going to be fighting with John Orndorff and Doug Wolf for seeding down at Clear Spring next Friday night. And we'll have Frankfurt next weekend, too. Many thanks to Chris in the studio. For Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Tony Orndorff, Brad Reed, and our pal Roxione, this is Jim Zamias for Saturday Morning Quarterback and WCBC Radio Sports.
Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in downtown Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's and respite care, located on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback is a production of WCBC Radio Sports.
All rights reserved.
One of America's great radio stations proudly serving the community since 1976. 1270 AM, WCBC Cumberland.
Also on the web at WCBCRadio.com. 10 AM, new cars, used cars, all available at Timbrook Kia Motor City. Stop in today.